Right, hello everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of Grecian's Gossip. I'm joined by David Byram.
Hello.
Jimmy Hawkins. Hi. Dan Clark.
Hello.
And Ollie Heptonstall.
Hello.
Plenty to discuss in this week's show, so we'll make a start. Swindon away, 1-1 draw for Exeter City. David, Ollie and Jamie are all at the game. David, I'll start with you. 1-1, what do you think the City will make of that?
On balance, probably a fair result, because you know Exeter started strongly and they had some decent chances. But Swindon came back into it in the second half, switched formation up and made 4-4-2, which City seemed to struggle with to begin with, but you know then they switched to 4-3-3 and ended strongly. So I mean, if either team were going to make a case of winning it, it would have been Exeter, but I think Swindon were probably on balance good value for a point. But you know, it's another good performance by City, which at this stage of the season is what matters really.
Tisdale seemed to think he should have had two penalties in 2 seconds, which was quite an issue. Would you want to explain that and whether you agree with that or not?
So I mean, looking back at, I honestly didn't notice at the time, to be honest, but I think it was Pierce Sweeney had a header cleared off the line, and it was a sea of bodies in there, and apparently it hit a Swindon player's hand on the line. I mean, I'm not sure if you can blame the ref too much for not noticing that. But then David Wheeler then tried to kick the ball towards goal, and he was taken out by a player trying to block it. And it's quite a heavy tackle on the knee, actually, and it is, you know, Paul Tisdale did say anywhere else on the pitch that's a free kick or a foul. And I'd probably agree, because it was a horrible tackle. Well, it wasn't really a tackle, it was a block. And, you know, you make a case for that should be a penalty all day long, to be honest. I think City can feel quite hard done by there. And on the referee's performance, I've not seen a worse refereeing performance for quite a while.
Really? Not bad?
Very bad. You know, there was a time in the second half that Swindon player went down injured. And so when Lee Holmes had the ball by the corner flag and on a City attack, and a Swindon player went down injured in the box, referee blew because it was a head injury, which is fair enough, you know, he has the right to do that. But then the Swindon player didn't need treatment, which I thought, well, he could just be making a case that he's fallen down there. But then the ref, for some reason, gives an uncontested drop ball to Swindon and allows them to just play on, despite the fact City are on the attack. And yeah, it was just, honestly, he just lost total control of the game, to be honest. Wasn't impressed at all.
It's a bit of a tangent, but I mean, there has been that accusation in the past, hasn't there, that City perhaps are almost a bit too nice, perhaps aren't quite savvy enough, or could almost do it being a little bit more sort of devious in terms of working. I mean, Jamie, I don't know, you've watched City for plenty of years. Do you think there's something in that? Or? It crops up every now and again.
Yeah,
doesn't
it does. Yeah, now and again, I think. You know, I think you've got some players in there that like to get stuck in and get involved. Like Ruben Reid always likes to have a word with players and officials as well. You know, Jake Taylor, David Wheeler as well. But you know, should it be down to them? Really, it's surely down to the officials to make the right calls. It's their job, isn't it? You know, like David said, shocking officiating Saturday. And poor sportsmanship as well by Swindon. You know, and when the game goes on and these decisions don't go your way, you start fearing the worst. And you know, obviously Swindon got the equaliser, and you start thinking, oh, it's going to be a bit of an onslaught then. But you know, I think we dealt with the equaliser pretty well, handled the pressure well. Obviously, the home crowd were getting right behind them, but you know, we kept attacking, and you know, could have nicked it at the end. That was a very good game again. You know, all the games this season have been pretty entertaining so far. I guess you know, the only thing is failing perhaps to convert the chances, still create lots of chances but not taking many, which you know, it's a bit of a worry, I suppose. But you know, there's definitely a lot of positives to take once again.
Ollie, what did you make of the performance and the result, given to how Exeter have played in the other games this season as well?
Yeah, I thought the Cambridge game we were good. Charlton, maybe a bit unlucky, but I thought they played well. But on Saturday, yeah, I thought it was really good. Early on, made chances. Lee Holmes, Ruben Reid, Liam McAlinden linking up well. And I think might be a bit disappointed to go in 1-0 at half time. Maybe could have got another one, but Wheeler went off at half time, and I think we struggled a little bit after that at the start of the second half. But then Jack Sparks came on, and I think we'll discuss him shortly. He was terrific.
Yeah, mentioned David Wheeler. I mean, Dan, if Tisdale was said he was fairly unsure, I think I'm right in saying, David, in terms of how long he might be out for, and didn't sound overly optimistic about this weekend, would you say? I'm not sure, but purely from what I saw from him.
I mean, in fairness, to Paul Tisdale, I spoke to him on Monday morning, and he probably, you know, you got a bite of swelling and stuff like that to go down. So, you know, there's every chance he could be fit on Saturday, but at the same time, you probably better to class him as a doubt because you just don't know.
Yeah, he'd be a miss, wouldn't he, Dan, if he was out for any time?
You'd think so, yeah. I mean, obviously, lost Ollie Watkins and his 20-plus goals from last season, and he's already 10% of the way there for matching that for Brentford, his couple he's got this season already. So to lose the 20 goals of David Wheeler as well would put a big hole in that, the attacking side of the team. And we could see from the Charlton game when he didn't play, sort of often Christy Pym was launching those long balls out to the right-hand side where you just instinctively think, well, Wheeler will win that, he'll knock the header down and you're in. And obviously it was somebody else out on the right hand side, some Lee Holmes was playing out there a little bit and just wasn't winning the headers. He wasn't getting those easy, you know, just the long ball launched upfield just to, you know, get rid of all the pressure. You're under sort of, you know, switch game from back to front quickly, and it's not just that, he just adds a little bit, you know, an extra aerial threat. He adds, I think defenders are a little bit scared of him the way, you know, he's played the last couple of seasons, the number of goals he's got in that. You know, you almost go in thinking the left back knows he's going to be in for a pretty torrid time and can't really afford to just bomb forward and everything, which perhaps if, I don't know, you know, someone like Jake Taylor, you know, moved out to the right hand side, it's a different prospect, a different style of player that, you know, it's not perhaps as threatening initially to the opposition as David Wheeler is, but, you know, he would be, you know, a big loss to the side, you know, if he isn't available. And it's not just the goals, it's everything else he seems to offer as well. And you know, you sort of think, well, who's the natural replacement? And you're looking at, you know, you either sort of playing Jake Taylor out of position or Jack Sparks, and you know, he's looked fantastic in everything we've seen of him in pre-season. He looked really good off the bench at Swindon, but you know, to be relying on, you know, I don't know whether it's a big ask for a 16-year-old go straight into the team as a, you know, particularly replacing someone like Wheeler, who was as good as last season. But everything we've seen from Jack Sparks so far suggests he gets a challenge, he meets the challenge, he rises to it and continues to impress. So I wouldn't expect him to perhaps start on Saturday, but you'd think he'll be in the squad again. He'll be, you know, definitely looking to come on if Exeter need a goal to chase the game. And you know, you see the way you've seen him play, you could easily see him getting those goals.
Ollie, you were saying you were impressed by Jack Sparks from what you saw him.
Yeah, he was terrific, actually. Yeah, we were struggling a little bit when Wheeler went off, struggling to create chances down the wing, but Jack Sparks came on and he just shows no fear, doesn't he? And it's a bit like Ethan Ampadu when he played against Brentford and Hull last year. We all thought, blimey, this kid's going to be special. And it was the same feeling when we saw Sparks, brilliant shot onto the post. And yeah, it's just great to see another young player come through the ranks, really.
David, I mean, from what you've seen of him, do you think he could, it's very early days obviously, but do you think he could make an impact?
I think so, yeah. I mean, as Ollie said, you know, he reminded me of Ethan Ampadu in a way, because he just sort of slotted into the adult football, senior football, and you know, he didn't look 16, it just looked natural to him. And when that happens, you think, you know, this kid's got something, to be honest. And again, you know, I remember Paul Tisdale speaking about Ethan Ampadu last season and saying that, you know, in England, a young player, we fancy young players to sort of be quick and be quite not fiery as such, but, you know, just explode into a game. But even Jack Sparks, he's got that intelligence, you know, he was dropping deep to get the ball and take it and sort of take it to meet defenders head on, that sort of thing. And it was, you know, it was a really impressive, intelligent performance, I thought, and, you know, unlucky not to score a winner.
Jamie, could you see Tiz dropping him straight in there at the weekend if Wheeler isn't fit? Or?
Well, he did enough on Saturday to start. He was absolutely superb when he came on, you know, to have that confidence at 16 to run at, you know, senior defenders. I don't know how old they were, but quite a bit older than him, I imagine. And you know, to cut inside and have shots. I already said that one that hit the post, absolutely superb. Will he start Saturday? It's going to be a big ask for him still, I think. You know, despite how well he's done. It's, but you know, if Wheeler's out, who else is there? I guess you know you've obviously got you know McAlinden and Holmes, but you know they play on the left. I think they've played on the right a few times as well. But you know, I think for me, I think Sparks has done enough given that performance at Swindon to start. He'll be in the squad, I imagine, at least on the bench. So yeah, I'd like him to start against Lincoln because you know he's definitely got something.
Sure. Perhaps what do you think? Kind of home match against on paper, perhaps one of the weaker oppositions in the league. It'd be a good opportunity for him to do so.
I think you're doing Lincoln a big disservice. Well,
I stress on paper because I think they've certainly they've got a lot of well, the fans, haven't they? They've won over a lot of people, I think. So,
you don't make the FA Cup quarter final without having something.
true. Although I mean, in the division, I'm not sure. Newly promoted, not so.
I mean, obviously, we'll speak about Lincoln later. Mm. But I'm a massive fan of their manager as well. I remember him managing in the Conference South. He took a team up to Concord Rangers up 3 promotions in about 4 years or something like that. I think it depends really because Lincoln are quite a physical side as well. You know, they play it long from that read, that sort of thing. So I think it perhaps depends. You know, do we want to expose a 16-year-old to that sort of physical style of play when he's perhaps not had something like that before? I mean, with Ethan Ampadu it works okay, but you know, he was a different type of player to Jack Sparks. He was a lot more about reading the game and defensively, that sort of thing. Whereas Jack Sparks is more about getting on the ball and you know taking on his man and you know. I'm not going to suggest Lincoln would, but you know they could kick him out of the game or something like that. So,
yeah, the natural other replacement out on that right wing, Jake Taylor probably would play out there if it's not Jack Sparks, and he's more than capable of handling himself in a physical battle. You know, get stuck in. I mean, he even managed to get suspended last year for accumulation of yellow cards, which I can't remember the last time an Exeter City player had that happen to them. Which sort of shows that you know. If Lincoln want to target players, get stuck and turn into a physical fight, then, you know, next to perhaps, you know, particularly with Tilson in that midfield as well, they've actually got the players to handle themselves, which perhaps a couple of years ago you wouldn't have said that, you know, if a game turned into a physical slugfest, you'd always fancy the opposition. But now you can sort of see, you know, like Troy Brown in the side as well, Jordan Moore Taylor, the players who will get stuck in, will, you know, happy to dish it out back to the opposition a little bit. And you know, you can almost want the game to end up in to turn out to one of those kind of lots of long balls, lots of challenges flying in, sort of not really any kind of rhythm to it. But Exeter can handle themselves in those games and come out on top against sides who on paper might look a little bit more physical, but Exeter can deal with them.
Mm-hmm. We've also had a question from Exeter City Poll to our Twitter. He's asked whether this season could be something of a breakthrough season for Liam McAlinden. Ollie, thoughts on that?
I hope so. He's certainly playing a lot more this year than he did last year when he was mostly on the bench. So, I think he does need to improve in a couple of areas. Needs to toughen up a bit, I think. He gets shrugged off the ball a little bit too easily, and League 2 is quite a physical league, so might need to toughen up. And also, when he runs, he tends to have his head down a little bit, and there were a couple of times on Saturday where there was a through ball on for Reuben Reid or Lee Holmes, so a couple of things for him to work on, but you know, I think he'll only get better as the season progresses.
Mm. He's started all the games this season, and he's got that one goal against Swindon, which is, I think, is quite crucial for him to get off the mark, get an early goal, because you know, the first two games against Cambridge, really could have had a hat-trick. Missed 2 or 3 really good chances in that game, and then again against Charlton he had a couple of good chances, had a really good one-on-one with the keeper which would have killed off the tie, didn't take it, and Charlton came back, and you sort of feel he needed that goal because having lots of good chances, you don't want to keep missing chances as a striker. He's got that goal now, and hopefully that will boost his confidence, keep that confidence high. And will perhaps, you know, if he gets the same kind of chances against Lincoln that he's had in the first couple of games of the season, this time he'll find the back of the net rather than you know, making the keeper make a good save or putting it wide, because you know, it didn't cost extra against Cambridge, the chances he missed. Arguably, it did against Charlton, because if he scores that one-on-one, it's 2-0, City are through. As in the end, he misses the chance, Charlton get the goals back and win the game.
Yeah, it was a good finish on Saturday, though, I thought, because it came off the post quite quickly, and he had to react, and it wasn't on the ground, and it wasn't right up in the air, so he had to adjust quite quickly, and he did well. You know, seen that often, and a lot of players would maybe spoon it over the bar, so yeah, he did well.
Mm. I'll be interested if he starts this weekend or not. Dave, you caught up with Paul Tisdale, didn't you, both looking back at the Swindon game and ahead to Lincoln. So if you have a listen to what Tis has to say about that.
Yeah, really good performance. Shame we didn't make 3 points, but it was a good performance that could easily have produced the win, but nevertheless, I'm very pleased with the way players like themselves and that's an encouraging start to the season.
And I suppose that's three solid performances in a row now, so I guess you're just looking to take that into Lincoln on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you take every game in isolation, and you have to study the merits of the opposition, which we will do against Lincoln. But we must take heart from, you know, how well we've acquitted ourselves so far. But of course, take nothing for granted as well. You know, it's the line so fine between failing and succeeding that we need to, start in the same manner that we have approached the last three games against Lincoln.
And I suppose Lincoln need to the division, but I suppose probably most teams will be aware of their threats after their FA Cup run last season.
Well, I mean, even without the FA Cup exploit last year, any side that wins the conference must be taken seriously, and we've seen over the last 10 years or so, any team coming out of the conference instantly has a degree of competency and strength that they roll over into the League Two season. So even without looking directly at Lincoln, we should hold the winners of the conference with a high regard of respect, because you know it's a tough league to win or get promoted from, and if you keep your side together, which they have, and the same manager, there will be a degree of momentum which follows over, and I don't think we can do anything but look at them as a top half of the table team, just based on the history, recent history of those teams. So I would imagine it would be a very tough game. We will of course look at their strengths and weaknesses, like we do every team, and we will try our best to give ourselves the best chance of winning. But there's no illusions it will be a difficult game.
And how are the injuries to David Wheeler and Ryan Harley?
Well, both are contact injuries. I can't call on David Wheeler yet because he came off at half-time on Saturday, and that will clearly take a while to settle down. So I don't know the answer to that. Ryan Harley making slow progress. Again, he's now been off beat for a week training, progress, but it's just whether he will be in a fit state to train ahead of the game on Saturday, so we'll have to wait and see.
But I suppose, you know, those sorts of injuries, do you give opportunities to other players, like perhaps Jack Sparks coming off the bench? Perhaps if Ryan Harley wasn't fit, he might not have been in the team, and he performed well on Saturday, didn't he?
Yeah, you have a sport of players. And know, Jack has elevated himself into the squad through his performances in training, so he was deserving of a place on the bench and did fabulously well when he came on. I certainly wouldn't have put him on the pitch if I didn't think he was up to it. And he showed instantly that, you know, he can play at the level, even at 16. So, well done to him. But, you know, I'd like to get all the players fit and ready for action on Saturday. If they're not, then, you know, we have to best team and bench possible, and have offensive players who are capable.
Well, that was Paul Tisdale there talking, talking about Swindon, and also looking ahead to the Lincoln game. Dave, you think Lincoln will be a tough test for City this weekend?
I think so, yeah. As I said, Danny Cowley's a good manager, and they strengthened well this summer. They brought in a Michael Boswick, who was Peterborough's player of the season last season and would have stayed there, but he didn't want to sign a new contract and they had a year left, so they wanted to get some money for him. And, you know, I think they'll be the sort of style of play that perhaps City have struggled against in the past. You know, that sort of long ball style, but I think, you know, Troy Brown, Jordan Moore-Taylor probably better equipped to deal with that than perhaps some of City's past defenders have been. But yeah, I don't think it'll be an easy game. I think it'll, you know, I think Lincoln will be a sort of solid prospect, to be honest. Nothing too exciting or attacking, but I do rate them quite highly.
Mm. Jamie, can you see Tiz changing things up much in terms of his lineup?
Well, he named a strong team against Charlton, made a couple of changes, and similar team at Swindon last Saturday. You know, Ruben Rees starting all the games. He hasn't really done that for a while since he's been at the club. You know, obviously towards the end of last season, he's more of a super sub, if you like. Obviously, there's going to be a few that you think be forced if Wheeler's going to be out. I'd imagine. You know, obviously Christy Penn will retain his place. I think he's done well enough to keep in goal. Back four will probably stay the same. So no, I can't actually imagine that many changes. You know, had a week's break, and obviously I think it's next Tuesday the Checker Train game.
Is it?
Okay, I was going to say he might rest.
Okay.
Got another week in between anyway. You know, 7 days, and you feel. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, you know, it's been a. It's a reasonably hectic August with a lot of games, you know, cup competitions, but it feels the Checkatrade Trophy home to Yeovil will be the one that you might make, you know, you'll make probably as many changes as you're allowed to under the competition's rules, and the likes of, you know, Ruben Reid will, you know, possibly be resting. That one allows the, you know, maybe Robbie Simpson, Ryan Brunt to get starts up front. You know, you can bring, you know, Luke Kroll in at the back, you, as well, you know, so options to bring a few players in. So there's no, you know, you really shouldn't be, you know, three weeks into the season, you shouldn't be having to make changes due to rest players, because, you know, the sheer number of games, you'd hope for, off the back of a good pre-season, for a fairly long pre-season, that everyone, you know, is at the fitness required, that they can still play two games in a week if they needed to, as actually need to at this stage. But, you know, you can't see, you know, looking at the squad, there's not a massive amount of players. You'd look at the bench and go, well, they should come in, they've done enough to get in. I mean, particularly there's still a few injuries around Dean Moxie, Ryan Harley, David Wheeler, all sort of doubts for the game. Just put it, you know, stretch that squad just a little bit more. So you'd think probably an unchanged lineup, depending on fitness of Wheeler or whether he wants to bring Jake Taylor back into the starting lineup, either ahead of, say, I don't know, Holmes or McAlinden or possibly Tilson or James in the midfield. But that's really the only, you know, question mark of, you know, it'll be 11 from those 12, you would think, barring any unforeseen injuries.
Mm. I'll throw this open to the floor, but how important is it to get a result against Lincoln? I mean, it certainly seems to be a positive start on the whole from City. You know, obviously, home win against Cambridge and that sort of thing. But is there a feeling that, you know, obviously a win would leave them looking very healthy at this early stage of the season, but a defeat might sort of undermine what's been a promising start so far?
Yeah, I think it's important to stay unbeaten at home and for the season as a whole in the league. So I don't think a win is, you know, it's not a must-win game, but certainly they'll want to keep the momentum going slightly. And yeah, it's always important to win your home games, I think.
Jamie?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't think I haven't really heard much criticism or negativity from the first couple of weeks of the season. You know, that the Charlton League Cup defeat, it was more gutting, I think, to go out, but Charlton were a better team. There's not much you can do against higher league opposition. You know, from the fans that have seen all the games, Cambridge, like, played very well, might have been hanging on a bit, but, you know, I guess the only thing is not taking the chances. And Swindon last week, similar story, but, you know, it was a very good point for a team that will probably be up there this season. And, you know, Lincoln, I think they're a good team, like Dave says. You know, history shows promoted teams always do well and need to. A lot of them always challenge, you know, for automatic back-to-back promotions like City did. So I think, you know, to win, it would really put a strong statement out there, because, you know, you look at the other teams, I know Luton have done well, but Mansfield have made a, you know, hit and miss start. They're the league favourites. So it would put a strong statement out there, because I think a lot of people know about Lincoln after what happened last season. They've, a lot of neutrals have warmed to them, so I probably want them to do well again. You know, I don't think it's like a, you know, a must-win situation at all. Obviously, we've already had that home win. We want to keep the run going, of course. But, you know, I think the performances have been good enough to suggest that it will be another good performance and result on Saturday.
I think it's only Coventry who won their first two games of the season, and that sort of shows... There's a lot of sides in the division who might not be a lot between them. You know, anyone can take points off anywhere, any stage. If you can just, you know, get some early wins, get ahead of the, you know, the gap, you know, almost, if you sort of be six games into the season, four wins, two draws, something along those lines, you sort of feel you're going to be up around the top three in the promotion spots, with maybe a little bit of a gap to sides looking back, which you can then sort of use that as a springboard just to. If you can get ahead of the, you know, the league, it can really help, because, you know, a little bit like Doncaster last season, they sort of fell away at the end of the season and their form sort of almost collapsed off a cliff, but they were so far ahead that it didn't actually matter in the end. They still went up, even though, because of their, you know, they got the points on the board early. I suppose at the end of the season it doesn't matter where you've got those points. If you get the points early when other teams are still trying to make signings, trying to work out what their best 11 is, fitting all the new players into the side. You know, Exeter, having not really had done too much business over the summer, they've got a settled side. Paul Tisdale knows what his best 11 is, and it's a chance to sort of, you know, steal a march on everyone else and sort of pick up some early points this season. It's not the toughest start to the season. I think it's Cheltenham away, I think, the following week, and that's one you'd probably look at and go, well, should be getting 3 points there, really, and then you can sort of, you know, be near the top of the table and, you know, set yourselves up as, well, we're the ones that clubs are going to have to chase and go from there.
So, yes. Well, I mean, I'll ask everyone for predictions. I mean, David, how can you see the weekend panning out?
I think it'll be tough, but I think 2-1 to Exeter City.
Jamie?
I don't know, it's going to be a tough game. Not many goals. I might go for 1-1.
1-1. Dan?
1-0 to Exeter, I think. Another similar kind of game to the Cambridge one, in which Exeter just have enough to edge them out in the end.
Mm. And Ollie?
I'll go with Jamie. 1-1 draw, hard fought draw.
Could be a tricky afternoon then, by the sounds of it, according to the panel. We've had another question from Dominic Carswell. He's asked for any changes before the end of the season, before the transfer window, sorry. David, I mean, you're close to the club, any ideas at all?
It doesn't look like it, to be honest. Paul Tisdale said, you know, there might be one or two very tiny irons in the fire, but I think part of that might depend on if they get any bids for someone like David Wheeler, but, you know, if he's injured, that's not going to happen, is it? So, you know, obviously Tyler Harvey's gone back to Truro, so I'm not signing him. So as far as I can see, nothing happening to me.
Is that more due to financial constraints, or more because Tisdale's sort of happy with the squad and doesn't feel the urge to tinker with it too much?
Probably six of one, half of the other. You know, I'm sure Paul Tisdale, as everyone would like to see another right back in the squad, but you know, they obviously don't have the money to bring one in, so there's not much they can do, so just got to make do with what they got, I guess.
Mm. Well, on that note, and Rodney's contacting us, asked who would replace Pierce Sweeney if he was injured. I mean, Jamie, before we even get to that, you know, is the lack of cover at right back a concern?
Yeah, I think we mentioned it before. You know, obviously he's done well, Sweeney, but I think he's still perhaps getting used to that position. He doesn't really, I don't think, get as forward as someone like Jack Stacey did, but he does get stuck in and defends well. I actually had to remind myself earlier that the new transfer window changes for the loan window, that they've scrapped the emergency loan window. Mm-hmm. So if he was bringing someone on loan, it'd have to be before, you know, August the 31st. So maybe we could see someone coming in there. But, you know, obviously Sweeney's, you know, he's done well. You know, he's played every minute of every game so far. But yeah, there is definitely that worry. Obviously you might have to maybe switch with, I don't know, centre back playing there, or we've got, I can't remember his name from the academy.
Sam Haynes.
Maybe he could come in, but you know, that'd be a big ask for him.
Kyle Egan could be recalled from his loan as well as an option if you are short, but you are sort of, you know, you don't, you know, Jake Taylor could play out of position there. It wouldn't feel
comfortable. The thing is, it's going to happen at some point, isn't it? Surely Pearson, you can't play every minute of every game.
So, you'd be looking at either sort of Jake Taylor out of position. I mean,
I think
Jordan Tilson might have to play there. Something, you know, sort of, you know, Troy Archibald Henville, possibly. Mm. Again, you know, you look at that and you're thinking, you're not entirely comfortable with any of the suggestions. I think Paul Tisdale will probably... would go, well, look, pick Sam Haynes possibly out the youth team, purely as, you know, if he's the specialist at right back and he, you know, is your youth team, you know, you're playing in the under 18s, you kind of want them to be not that far away, that if, you know, your first choice players are injured, and you want to be able to say, okay, well, we can select them. If, you know, if you don't have faith in them, then it suggests you're not entirely, you know, there's issues with the youth system. But we've seen the youth system at City seems fine. Players keep coming through, so there's no reason to suggest that, you know, if you're playing regularly for the under-18s, you're probably not that far away from being good enough to make the Exeter City squad.
Mm. I think we'd switch to something like 3-5-2 or something like that and put Jake Taylor at wing-back, or maybe even Lloyd James at wing-back. Just, you know, it's a formation City played last season at times and it seemed to work, so, if you know, why risk putting a youth player in when, you know, he's not made any senior appearances, when he could just switch formation?
Mm. I'm wondering if I'll rue the comments about Pierce Sweeney, and we'll probably come back here in May and find out he has played every game. Every game. We'll see. Another question from Exeter City Pulse. He's asked, is this Jay's year? He's had time to adapt and hasn't yet started as a regular. I presume he means Matt Jay.
Yeah.
From that, I mean, he's been around the club for a little while now, hasn't he, Matt Jay? And yeah, as Exeter Pulse has struggled to really kind of cement a place in the team. David, could it be his year, do you think?
I don't know. I think if he is going to break through, it will be sort of this season when they're. Perhaps isn't as much competition for places now. Ollie Watkins is gone, and you know, a lot of the squad players rate him really highly. You know, they say he's quite skillful and quite quick. But I think his issue is always, you know, just the sort of physical presence, because he's obviously quite short and, you know, not sort of well built or anything like that. So, you know, you probably worry about him going up against a long ball against someone, for example. But you know, I would like to see him get involved and just see, you know, he played quite well in the Checker Trophy games last season, so if we see him involved in those games again this season, it could lead to him winning a place on the side, I suppose.
Jamie, can you see him featuring much?
Yeah, I mean, I think people forget that, you know, people say, oh, he's young, he's an academy player, but as you said, he's actually been around quite a while. He's, you know, plays the odd game and gets shipped out on loan. Yeah, it will be a big year for him, I think. You know, he's been given his chance. He's had a solid pre-season. He's been, you know, in the squad so far. You know, obviously we've got the Checker Trade games coming up, that may be his chance to shine. But, you know, I think it a lot depends on what happens this year, because, you know, for me, if he gets put out on loan again this season, that might be a suggestion that he's on his way out. But, you know, as David said, I think a lot of people think very highly of him. He's been given a lot of praise from fans and players from what we have seen of him. I'd like to see him get a chance, because we've seen over the years young players perhaps come through, they play the odd game, they look promising, get sent out on loan to Truro or Dorchester, and that's just the last you see of them. So it's going to be a big few weeks for him, I think.
Alright, we'll see how he gets on. Alright, that's everything from Grecian's Gossip this week. Thanks very much for joining us, and tune in next week to hear more.